Let us turn to the passage before us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're looking at verse 5 to verse 8. Our topic for this morning is true Christian fellowship. True Christian friendship. True Christian friendship. What constitutes a friend? I mean, we all have friends. We all say we have friends. And, well, in a sense, we have different degrees of friendship. Perhaps because, you know, nowadays the term friend or the word friend is quite loosely used. The idea of a friend perhaps has, to some degree, been diluted or lost its value. With the advent of social media, Facebook in particular, we have, you know, friend lists. If you do have a Facebook account and you look at it, oh wow, some of you would have friends that number in the hundreds, some even in the thousands. But we know that not every single one of these thousand over people or thousands of people on your list is considered the same in the degree of the closeness that you have with them. This, by definition, some people have described a friend as one of whom you have a close bond of mutual affection. Simply put, someone that you like very much. And there is this kinship that you share with this person. So, in the course of our lives, yes, we develop friendships. People that we come into contact with, people that we come to know, we like them, we trust them, we care for them. There is this closeness that you cherish with the people that you count as your friends. And so it is someone that is closer than just an associate, someone that you are acquainted with. Because, you know, we will get to know many people in the course of our lives. From the time that you were students, you had classmates, you had schoolmates, you had work acquaintances, people that you met through the course of your daily life. All these people in our lives, but not every single one of them, we will count them as a close friend. Am I right? At least not to the same degree. How will you relate to these people in your lives? And on top of this circle of friends that we have, right, people that we have come to know, come to share our lives with for a particular moment in your time, people that you would count, you know, that you can count on, and, well, people that can know that they can count on you, there is perhaps a narrower circle of whom we term as Christian friends, fellow believers, or how we will sometimes describe as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, to these people, well, the Bible does tell us that we ought to relate perhaps even closer to them. These are people that are described who are of the household of faith. Now, even within that group, there are degrees as well. Because there are Christians that we meet, but, well, we know that they are believers, but we do not have any particular sort of close ties with them. And of course, we love them. And if they were to call upon us for help, we will always be ready and willing to do so. But we are not so close to them. And there are those that we will be closer to. There is that mutual bond of affection, of closeness that we ought to have one with another. But of these friends, are they true Christian friends? And the friendship that you share, is it one of true Christian fellowship? Or are they just, well, friends that happen to be Christian? Now, there's a distinction there, isn't it? Someone that we say, yes, this is a friend. I care for him dearly. And the reason for that is because of the bond that we share in Christ. Maybe people in the church. Maybe people in other churches as well. Will we care for them in the same way that we see depicted for us in the Bible with regards to the sort of relationships that, well, they have one with another. Where at the very center of that relationship is Christ. Because you see, in contrast to any other relationship that we have, or any other friendship that we have, there could be different reasons as to why we are friends in the first place. Right? That circles that I described earlier, acquaintances, people that you come into contact with, could be various factors that bring you together. You share the same common thing in your past, whether you were classmates at one point of time or colleagues at one point of time in your life, right? Or something that sort of brought you into regular contact one with another. And so that was, well, really the sort of the central thing in your relationship. And yes, perhaps as you got to know that person, you shared a common bond. Maybe you enjoyed the same hobby, or you have similar interests, or maybe you just hit it off for whatever reason. But what that means is that at the center of that relationship, well, there is a reason for it. A common interest, a common hobby, a common background, a common history. Those factors. But what will separate a Christian friendship from any of those other sort of relationships has to be the very fact that Christ is there at the center of our relationship. And what brings us together and what causes us to continue to be together will be that mutual bond, and that mutual bond in Christ. Because that is what the basis of a Christian fellowship, Christian friendship ought to be. That we are called to love one another, especially those of the household of faith. Why? Because we are all, to a degree actually, described as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what ties us together. And so we have to also be careful. I mean, even in the friendships that we develop here in church, right, or amongst fellow believers, we must ask, now are we friends who happen to be Christians? Or are we Christian friends? Are we friends that come together because of our common love and our desire for the things of Christ? Because if that is the central element of your relationship, then yes, you will be able to mutually encourage and edify one another in the Lord. Because that ought to be the purpose behind the friendships that we have, the friendships that we share amongst brethren. Will we avail ourselves and open ourselves up to that sort of encouragement? And will we actively seek to be that sort of friend? The sort of friend that we see Paul being here in this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, in the past few messages and in the past few verses, really, we have seen the strength of the relationship between Paul and the church at Thessalonica. Well, in a sense, you may say, yes, the nature of his relationship was that, well, he was the one that founded the church. Right? So he had that pastoral care and that heart over them. But we also see, especially in this passage, that it was not just a one-way street. It was not just that Paul cared very much for the church, but we see that that affection was reciprocated. Well, when Paul sent Timothy, the messenger, to them, and he came back and he sent the report, and amongst other things, one of the things that he shared was in verse 6, that he have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. I mean, that is a friendship, isn't it? But they shared with Timothy, yes, we miss Paul, we remember him very dearly, and we desire to see him. Just as much as he had a desire to see them. And so as we consider this passage, we see really the blessings that friendship can bring. We see a certain elements of, well, what friendship is all about. Because not just here, but throughout the Bible, I mean, we do see this idea that we are not created to be people alone. I mean, right from the very beginning, God said it is not good for man to be alone. And for that reason, he created within us this need, this yearning for companionship. And yes, that can be found within your spouse. And that is why God formed Eve and brought her to Adam. Then Adam was no longer alone. And yes, in our spouse, we do find wonderful friendship, companionship. And in a sense, we can say that our spouse ought to be our best friend. But beyond that, the Bible also speaks of friendship. Friendship, for example, that was depicted between David and Jonathan, where their hearts were knit together. Why? Because of their common love for the Lord. The book of Proverbs has quite a number of verses that speak about the joys and the blessings of friendship. Proverbs 27:9, for example, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And just as ointment and perfume, these sweet-smelling spices, it was something very treasured by them. And he says, as you smell that precious ointment, yeah, it rejoices the heart, it brings you gladness. And he says, that is like what a man's counsel is. When you sit together, you share the things of Christ one with another, you encourage one another in the Lord, and you can feel leaving greatly blessed and edified. The sweetness of a man's friend through his hearty counsel. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. And he says, you know, sometimes the ties of friendship can come and be even stronger than the ties of family. And we all have siblings, yes. Sometimes we may not always get along with our siblings. And especially if sometimes, sadly, they do not know Christ. They're not believers. And there will always be that gulf that separates us between us and them, because we are on different trajectories in life, different purposes, different goals. But there can be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There can be wonderful, meaningful friendships that we will develop in the course of this life. And these ought to be very precious things to us, that it, through our interactions, that we can be, you know, encouraged in the Lord. We can bless one another. We can help each other to grow. And I trust that that is something that perhaps you have found. Maybe here in the very midst of our church, or that you have developed with some people in your life, and you are that friend. You are that friend that can, by hearty counsel, bring sweetness in the life of someone else, that you have been that encouragement to the people around you. So as we examine this passage before us in these few verses, we want to see some elements of what, well, true Christian friendship is all about. Firstly, we revisit verse 5. I know we talked about verse 5 in our previous message, but I want to look at it from a slightly different angle. And that's with regards to the concern for the spiritual things, or the concern for the faith of others. That's what we see in verse 5 as well. Right? So we talked about how, yes, for, you know, the reason why Paul sent Timothy was because he was very, very much concerned about the faith of the Christians there at Thessalonica. He was prevented time and again from returning to Thessalonica. We saw that, how Satan hindered him. And as much as he wanted to, he personally himself could not. And so for that reason, he did not want the Thessalonian Christians to face their afflictions alone. That's what we saw last week. He says he did not want them to face their afflictions alone. He knew how dangerous the situation that they were in, that because of the trials that they were facing, Satan was tempting them, and they could at any moment fall. And so he sent Timothy to know their faith. Now that's something that we see in Paul also. This concern, this very deep concern for the spiritual well-being of those whom he counted as his friends, those people who he cared for. And so he says, I could no longer forbear. And we talked about this phrase as well, I think about two or three messages ago. There's this idea when I could not take it any longer. He says, you know, so great was his concern for them that he was worried. There was no means for which, you know, as like how we have in our day of modern telecommunication, that he can just send them a call, a message, and he can find out about how they are. I mean, he was separated physically from them. There was no way to hear from them except he sent someone personally. And so he did so. He was willing to do that. And we saw also that there was a sacrifice on his part, right? Because as he sent Timothy, then he will be left alone at Athens. That's what verse 1 tells us. But he was willing. He was more than willing for that to happen. If so be it that he could then know about the faith of the church at Thessalonica. This shows his concern. The concern for their spiritual health. Because sometimes, you know, a person may perhaps rather cynically say, well, why are you such a busybody? This is none of your business. Oh, this is between God and him. Why must you poke your nose into his affairs? But that is not the heart of a Christian friend. And while, yes, God knows how the spiritual state of every single one of us are, and yes, he has sent his Holy Spirit into the lives of every believer to guide them into all truth, to come alongside them and comfort them, that does not in any way then discount the need for friends in our lives. For others who can come alongside us and comfort us and care for us. Because throughout the Bible we also see the use that God has for human agency. Of people that come into our lives to guide us, to strengthen us. And we see that throughout the Bible, that the Lord uses people. And that is his means by which he will encourage someone else. And so in this we see the importance of also wanting to be that friend, to be that person, to reach out. And on the part of one who is being reached out to, we must also be willing to open ourselves up. We do not look upon one another with suspicion and says, what? Why do you ask these questions? What do you want to know? And be hostile about that. I mean, that is not going to help us to grow. That is not going to be helping us to develop these sort of relationships that we so need. Because if we cut ourselves off and we shut ourselves up from those that truly, genuinely do care for us, then we lose out on their blessings of friendship, isn't it? Because that is how God created us, to be part of a community. To be part of a group. A group that sincerely does have a concern for the faith of one another. That was Paul's concern for the church at Thessalonica. He was deeply concerned. He was deeply concerned about how they were doing. And we see that come forth throughout this whole chapter. He says, I was waiting there at Athens and I couldn't forbear, I couldn't tolerate it, I couldn't take it any longer. I really wanted to know. And it was not just to satisfy his curiosity, because concern is not just curiosity. It's not just, oh, I want to know how you are, and once you find out, he says, oh, okay, thanks. And then you move on your way. Now, of course, concern is not just about wanting to have the knowledge of your faith, but then upon that knowledge to then act upon it, right? That's what true concern is. Because yes, if we are just asking to satisfy our curiosity, then yeah, we're being busybodies. Because then we're not willing to lift a finger to help. We're not willing to do anything in response to the knowledge that we have. No, but true concern is one that as you receive that knowledge, as you know how this brother or sister is doing in the Lord, and we see and find ways and means in which we can help to encourage one another, to see a need and to stand there and fulfill that need. That's what a friend does. And that's what Paul was doing for them there. He says, I sent to know their faith, not just so that I can know, but also then that he can strengthen them, that he may, in what verse 10 says, perfect that which is lacking in their faith. That means he can know what it is, that where they are in terms of their level of faith, their level of knowledge and understanding of the things of Christ, and the strength of their trust in the Lord, and then he may help to guide them into full maturity. That was the purpose behind sending to know their faith. Because he was very concerned. Were they at the threat or were they in danger of falling to the wiles of the devil? He knew that Satan was active, threatening the faith of this young church. And they were vulnerable. And so he says, I was so concerned. I was so concerned, and I did not want you to fall at all. And so I made sure that there will be someone there alongside to walk on this journey together with you, to guide you through this period of persecution and affliction, so that you will be able to stand and not fall. Is that our concern as well? As we think about the people around us, as we think of the friendships that we develop, what are our friends to us? What is the nature of the relationship that you share? Is it a selfish sort of friendship that we have? Where, you know, constantly what we are concerned about is, you know, how can they add to my life? What is it that they can contribute to me? A lot of times, subconsciously even, we think of it that way, isn't it? I like to be around this person because, well, he brings me joy, she brings me joy. I enjoy this person's company. I enjoy this person's presence. And so, yeah, this group of people, yeah, I enjoy spending time with them. I like it, right? Because, yeah, I feel comfortable with them. Yeah, you know, we have a lot of fun when we go out. They tell very good jokes. Oh, you know, we have a lot of common interests, a lot of fun banter, a lot of nice things to talk about. Yeah, I enjoy that. You know, when we think that way, really what we're saying is that, well, they add a lot to me, and therefore I'm happy to spend time with this group. When you think of someone else, and you say, oh yeah, you know, this person, yeah, not so fun, not so enjoyable, yeah, and we don't have that many common interests. You know, yeah, sometimes, you know, he says things or she says things that are, yeah, you know, I don't quite understand, or, you know, maybe sometimes, yeah, this is not the easiest person to have a conversation with, and so therefore, what are we saying then? There is nothing in it for me in this relationship, and therefore I am not willing to invest the time and effort it takes. And if you think about it, actually, a lot of times intrinsically, we're very selfish. We're very selfish with regards to the relationships that we have. But that ought to be, isn't it? That is not the purpose of our friendship. It is the concern that we have for spiritual things. That how can I, as a friend, a person who says that I care for this person, how can I contribute to their spiritual lives? That through my presence in their life, are they more blessed as a result of that? Am I able to contribute to their spiritual health? That through our mutual time spent together, we have helped each other to grow. And that's what we ought to experience. Because the more and more we experience such friendships, then yes, the more and more we would or should want to have that. But we realize that, you know, as a Christian, in the life of a Christian, it's not just about going out for meals and having fun together. I mean, of course, there is that element of that we do enjoy each other's presence, but it is far more than that. It is a sort of relationship that you can experience that comes at a far higher level than anything that you can have out of the bonds, you know, outside of Christ. Not to say that we don't have friends outside of Christ. We do. And it is through that we can be the witness for the Lord. But we know that the connection will never be as deep as one from whom we share the bond of Christ together with. Because there's going to be a limit. There's going to be a limit where you come up to a point where you are just in completely different paths of life. He's on the broad way. You are on the straight and narrow way. It's different. It's just completely different. But then within the bonds of Christians, friends, the more and more we experience this side of this sort of mutual edification, the more and more we experience, you know, what Paul said here, that I'm so deeply concerned about your faith and I will do things to help. And if, as you experience the same from the people around you, they reach out to you, they ask after you, you know, they try to help you or counsel you perhaps when you are downed, to comfort you. You experience that. And perhaps you have been on the receiving end, or perhaps you have been on the giving end of that. What it would lead then is that we will want more of that. We cherish these moments and these experiences together. And that's what we see depicted in verse 6. So the first idea is that there is a concern for the faith of others. Right? There's one element, right, of Christian friendship, that there is this mutual concern, one for another. We care very much about the spiritual state of others. The second is that you will cherish any opportunity of spiritual friendship, that you will cherish it. That's what Timothy reported, right? In verse 6, he came to us, he came from you unto us. So Paul says, yes, I could no longer forbear, and therefore I sent Timothy. And after Timothy went to you and he came back, this was the report that he brought. Right, verse 6, and when Timothy came from you to us, he brought us good tidings of your faith and charity. He says, yes, you know, they are doing well in the Lord. Their faith is strong. They are showing forth love in their lives. And of course, Paul was very encouraged about that. But the friendship element that we see comes in the second half of the verse, in which he says that you have good remembrance of us always. They reminisced upon the time in which Paul was there. And yes, while the time in which he was there may have been short, you say, how could they have developed a friendship within a few weeks? Well, you can. You can. Right? Because these relationships might even transcend, you know, sort of things like time that sometimes we need. But it's that they recognize in one another that spirit of Christ, that loving desire for the things of God. They saw that in each other. And now that Paul was no longer there, they missed it. They missed that sort of friendship that they had. It is a precious thing. And so they enjoyed it when Paul was in their midst. And then Paul, of course, was chased out because of persecution. And so, you know, when Timothy came, he says, oh, yes, yes, oh, yes, of course we remember the Apostle Paul. Yes, it was a dear and a wonderful time that we had in those days where he was there with us. And when is he coming back? We miss him and we would love for him to return, greatly desiring to see us, as also we to see you. And so Paul is now writing to them. He says, yes, that friendship, that desire for spiritual fellowship, it is greatly reciprocated. And both of them and enjoy that time that they had. And of course, they want more of it. They want more of it. And I trust that is something that you have experienced as well. As you think about coming together as one body in Christ, as you think of opportunities that you can have to meet up one with another, it is something that you treasure, something that you cherish. There's weekly we come together. We come together to worship, come together for Bible study, we come together for various fellowships. Now, is that something that you look forward to? Or is it something that you, well, fine, all right, fine, I'll do it. No choice, but okay, I'll come. Or is something that you are completely fine not to have? Ask ourselves, why? Why do we feel that way? If we have actually truly experienced that, if we have been at the benefit of that, will you not want more? Now, it's true, and I understand that some of us are naturally, perhaps you can say, more introverted type of people. And I actually number myself in that regard. There are times in which, yeah, I'm just very comfortable alone, and I prefer perhaps to be alone. It's very peaceful and quiet in my own thoughts. And I guess for those of you who are introverts, maybe you do understand a little bit of what I'm saying. But at the same time, we also know that, you know, we are not able to thrive spiritually if we continually shut ourselves out from any opportunity of fellowship. If we continue just to stick to ourselves and you say, well, I'm fine by myself, I enjoy being alone. Yes, that may be what you enjoy in the short-term sense. And just as much as, you know, some people say, oh, I enjoy, you know, watching certain shows or I enjoy playing games. But we know that, well, that is not always the most helpful thing. Yes, sometimes we need that to unwind, or sometimes, yes, we have moments of relaxation. But there are sometimes times where we know we ought to do things that is spiritually useful, spiritually needful, spiritually good for us. Maybe not just for us also, but then the people around us. And so we avail ourselves to opportunities of fellowship. Is that something that you yearn for? Is that something that you desire? Something that you see a need for? The church at Thessalonica recognized that. And so he says, yes, we greatly desire to see you again. Paul recognized that. And so he says, yeah, I've been trying again and again to return to you. Because he knew how important and needful it was for them. But he also saw the benefit that he had for himself. Because it was not just a one-way thing, as I mentioned just now. You know, sometimes we may have people around us that care very much about us. And yes, they are asking about our spiritual state. They are willing to put in that time and an effort to say, let's meet up. Or they say, come, you know, I'd like to do some follow-up together with you. And they put in that time, that effort to meet you, to guide you. But you're not interested in being helped. You just deflect any of such overtures from them. Why do we do that? Why do we not avail ourselves to these fellowships, opportunities? And they invite you to say, come, join us for Bible study. Come, join us for fellowship. And you say, no, I'm busy. Is that perhaps a telling sign of our spiritual state? When we reject spiritual friendship, we reject opportunities for fellowship. And perhaps we are far more comfortable with friends of the outside, where you just have all sorts of fun together, but there are no spiritual elements in that relationship. Or you just want to have time to do your own things, pursue your hobbies, have your own fun, apart from the things of Christ. Again, is that not telling about the state of your spiritual life? And you ask yourself, why? Why is it that I do not care for spiritual fellowship? Why is it that I'm so comfortable or fine being apart from Christian brethren, being apart from any means of spiritual feeding? I am not concerned about the spiritual state of the people around me, and I do not want them to ask after my spiritual affairs. Why? Why are we in that state? Could it be that perhaps we are not Christian? And that is why we do not enjoy, or that is why we do not seek after Christian fellowship and Christian friendship. That ought not to be. And a final thought that we have, as Paul mentions then in verse 7, verse 8, is the idea of comfort. Comfort in particular amid affliction. And so we have concern. We have concern for the faith of others. We have, you know, cherished spiritual fellowship, and then there is this comfort that he receives. And that's what he shares then in verse 7. And he says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you. And so we are comforted because of you. Because of this report that we receive, we were comforted in all our affliction and distress. Why or how? By your faith. And so you remember, I mean, Paul was facing a lot of afflictions, constantly and continually. Every city that he went to, or it was constantly trials that he was facing, difficult experiences that he was met with. But then what he shared was that, you see, when I heard about what was going on, you know, that brought me a great deal of comfort. He rejoiced greatly, right? Because he says, when I heard about your faith and your charity. That's what verse 6 says, right? Timothy brought the report and he says, yes, you're doing well in the Lord. You know, their faith is strong. Their love is strong. They're growing in the Lord. And he says, Paul says, wow, that is what brought him so much comfort, especially in the midst of all the problems and the difficulties that he was facing. When he heard the news that, yes, the church at Thessalonica is doing well, he says, that brought him a great deal of comfort to his heart. I mean, that can only come, this sort of comfort that Paul was speaking of can only come if, well, the first two points are met. You truly have that mutual comfort, that mutual concern one for another, that you enjoy that fellowship, that you're deeply concerned for the spiritual lives of the people around you. And for that reason, when Paul heard about the faith, how they were abounding in their faith and charity, he says, oh, that was wonderful news, great news. And he was greatly comforted. And then he went on to say, for we live. He says, you know, we are able to carry on in this life if you stand fast in the Lord. If your faith continues to be strong, if you remain rooted and grounded in the Lord, he says, we can live. He says, that is really perhaps what encourages him and helps him to continue to striving in the service of the Lord. We strive for the service of the Lord. You know, these are great encouragements that we also can bring one to another. As we have that concern and we see and we witness in the lives of others that spiritual growth, as we see them maturing in the Lord. Yeah, we ourselves may be going through very, very difficult times. But then when we witness the Lord working in the life of someone else, you know, that can bring us a great deal of comfort. Have you experienced that before? And when then you'll be able to realize that, yes, in our own cares, our own distresses, in our own hardships and our own difficulties, it seems as if momentarily alleviated. Not that it completely goes away. I mean, Paul was still in the midst of hardship. But he saw that it is worth it. It is worth it for him to continue to strive hard in the things of Christ. And I mean, he was sacrificing so much. He was going through so much hardship for the cause of Christ. That was the distresses and afflictions that he was facing. He was suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he saw that there are fruits of his ministry, he says, yes, it makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it. Comforted to know. Despite the fact that he had gone through so much affliction, so much distresses, that the Lord is working in the lives of all these people around him. And he says, I was so comforted. Is that something that we have experienced? Well, we derive great joy and great satisfaction in the spiritual health, the spiritual growth on the lives of others. And yes, whatever difficulties that you may have faced in the cause of helping a brother, of helping a sister, it seems as nothing in the light of how the Lord was then able to use you to be a blessing in that person's life. And so in like manner, then we become comforted in the midst of our labors for the Lord as we see the growth of the brethren around us. That is what a true friend is, isn't it? Again, the book of Proverbs, we can reference in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. He says that's what a friend and a brother is. One who will help you and guide you through periods of adversity, of periods of difficulties, of periods of distresses. And then there is that friend with you, a friend that is there for you. A friend who can comfort you. A friend who brings you comfort in the midst of your adversity. That is what Paul experienced. That is what Paul experienced. To know that, yes, it is worth it. It is worth it all. To continue to live for Christ. To continue to be a witness for him. Because for the Christian, that is where our adversities or any afflictions that we have stems from. It comes in the course of living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet in the midst of their difficulties, in the midst of striving hard for the Lord, of seeking to be a good witness for him, yes, we have it tough. But then we know that the Lord is working. We experience and see the growth of the lives of others that brings us comfort. It brings us comfort. Is that something that we have experienced? Because at the end of the day, as we think about the idea of friendship, and what a friend means to us and what we can be in terms of being a friend to the people around us, we think of Christ. Because do you know Christ? When he was on earth, he said to the disciples, I call you my friends. Where do we see that? In John 15, verse 13 to verse 15. And let us turn to that passage in closing. Where we see Christ, really at the end of the day, he is our perfect friend. He demonstrates for us what true friendship is about, and he calls us to then portray the same to the lives of the people around us. So John 15, verse 13, I'll read this to you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the ultimate sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for us, because he cared so deeply for us. because he was so concerned, of course, ultimately, completely, fully concerned about our spirit, about our eternal state. And he knew the state of sin that they were in, and he knew that the only way was for him to give his life as an atonement for many, and he did that. He willingly did so. He gave his life to benefit all of us. Now, of course, we are not God. We cannot give our lives as an atonement for our friend, but we can make sacrifices. We can give of ourselves, our time, our effort, our energy, our finances even. If so be that we can bring an encouragement to the life of our friends, that we can help them to know Christ better, will we not be willing to do so? That is the ultimate height or level or mark of spiritual concern, isn't it? And then he tells them, he says, you are my friends. And so he depicts himself as his friend, right? He says, I have given my life for you, and therefore I am your friend. And then he says, you are my friend. How? If ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, of course, he comes as a position also of God, calling them to live lives of obedience, calling them to live lives of commitment unto the Lord. And he says, yes, it is a mutual thing. You come and you live in light of the word of God and the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, that is friendship as well, isn't it? If you come and you willingly do the bidding of someone else, whatever it is, of course, which he has lovingly called you to do. He says, it is not a servant-slave sort of relationship. He says, I henceforth call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I share spiritual things with you. I share words of encouragement. Whatever it is that I have received of the Father, whatever it is that I know that is needful for you, I share with you openly. I guide you, and therefore you are my friends, as much as I am your friend. And that is the hymn that we sing, isn't it? What a friend we have in Jesus. Because above all our earthly friends that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we know he loves us, he cares for us to the point in which he died for us. He is concerned about our spiritual state. He desires that fellowship, that relationship with us. And of course, he rejoices as we grow in him, as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we then go and do the same for the lives of the people around us? And will we be open for those who want to do the same to us? That is friendship. That is relationship. And these are the sort of experiences that we ought to have together as one body in Christ. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. We thank thee for the relationship that we see depicted between Paul in the third church at Thessalonica, between Christ and his disciples, and with us, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that thou help us then to portray this sort of relationship in the lives of the people around us, that we truly have a yearning, a desire to help, to guide, to strengthen, to encourage, to edify those around us whom we call as friends. That we do not cheapen the meaning of this word, but that truly we go forth as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, always seeking ways and means in which we can draw one another unto the Lord, to each other. We thank thee and commit all these things into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.